Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Too many people losing their life thanks to an earthquake in Nepal. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to this version and this week of America Tonight. Really sad to hear some of the stories there, including people who were on Mount Everest who were killed. Some of the climbers were trapped and were rescued, but there were so many people that were hurt in this major aftershock and earthquake initially. There was a Google exec that was killed on Everest, and the ground was just massively cut open. I guess that's the best way to put it. Imagine in your mind, you know, you're just going through your daily life, and we know this from earthquakes that have happened in the United States, and I've talked about being through an earthquake in California, although it was pretty mild where I was in Santa Barbara, but even just that little tiny bit of a scare, I can't even imagine what that would be like. 7.8 magnitude is what it was measured at. So you had people that were in close quarters all over Nepal that had buildings that fell down on top of them, and you had just some terrible, terrible situations. And over 3,000, as I said, dead. And it's all about pulling out bodies and identifying people, and it's still the process of going through that. I mean, in Nepal, they're incredibly traumatized. They're coping with all the emotions and the devastation and finding people. And they did find some people that were huddled under beams that somehow miraculously were pulled from big piles of concrete. And thank goodness there's those kinds of stories, because there were some terribly tragic stories as well where somebody had just happened to go into a building or had unfortunately been in a situation where they were on the street and something fell on them and you know, whatnot. And so for the Everest climbers, it's one of the creme de la cremes of climbing that people want to do. And that was where many people found themselves at the wrong time. So there were some survivors, and you're going to hear what one survivor had to say, actually filming with an iPhone, talking about what that was like. But just a terrible, terrible thing with this powerful earthquake. And you have security people carrying tents and distributing water in and around the outskirts of Kathmandu. And, you know, I've never been to Nepal, but if I were to look at places to go, that would be a place that I would have put on my list, as I know people have done the journey there, have gone there and said it's unbelievable the things that you see, and have talked about Everest and have talked about Kathmandu. And the Nepalese people are in temporary shelters and are trying to dig out things and see if they can still find pets or find other things that have gone missing, and going through the debris. But like I said, the rescuers had some powerful stories of reuniting families, of, you know, of finding people alive. But it's massive, massive damage. And the buildings look like, you know, toppled over, chunks of concrete, some standing, and then others where they're tilting, where they're just, it's strange. It's like they're tilting on their side. There were many historic areas that were ruined. There was this beautiful Buddha statue that was in a temple that was a World Heritage Site, and it just was ripped to pieces, but yet the statue, the main part of the statue, was still intact. So can you imagine the devastation of that? And of course the United States is helping, and as are many other countries coming to the aid of the people in Nepal. But it's really about still searching and assessing the damage because the damage is vast and it's, you know, just everywhere. It's shocking. 7.8. 7.8 is absolutely where you don't want to be. I mean, you don't want to be there for sure. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we have our weekly re-rack. Justin Esgar joins us. And Justin talks about the power of building an app, which is exactly what he did. And he's speaking all over the place and helping entrepreneurs. And he talks about being in the IT biz and then breaking out of that and going out on his own and what happened from there, which is where so many people find themselves in the country taking a leap either by necessity or because they think that they can do better on their own and they have ideas and they don't want to work for some giant company, some no-name company. And he fits that bill, and it's a powerful conversation for It's Your Business. So we'll chat with him in the re-rack coming up this hour. Also, the correspondence dinner was over the weekend, and sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not as funny. They had a woman comedian from Saturday Night Live who did it this time, and I thought, from what I could see, she did a pretty good job at wrapping innuendos and maybe insults into a couple of different jokes that seemed to work. 22 minutes in front of that room would be pretty tough, and that's what you get. You get like 22 minutes. 22 minutes to either really die a slow death as far as comedy is concerned or to really just to nail it. And you think of the people who have done the correspondence dinners over the year and who have gotten into over the years and have gotten into trouble, like Don Imus, Wanda Sykes did it. You know, Seth Meyers has done it. It's virtually a who's who of the world of comedy, I think. So it's pretty special to get asked to do that, but then it's a matter of being able to deliver it. And also, you know, sending you into the weekend, we always do our cheap movie reviews, and it seems that one movie really shattered the box office above all others. And kind of a sneak peek, it wasn't in tremendous wide release, but it was certainly in demand. You know, you go the comic book route when you think of Marvel Comics, and all of that has just exploded. Iron Man changed a lot of people's lives that were on that set, and it, I think Iron Man sort of paved the way for some of what we're seeing. I mean, Spider-Man was there before that, but the new Avengers is the movie that's shattering records, and it's only been a handful of days, and already it's on the must-see list. And of course now we're coming to the tail end of the school year, so that I think will break in even more money when kids are out of school. And getting up for this weekend, there are a couple of big things happening in the world of sports. The Kentucky Derby, for sure, we'll talk Derby this week. Plus, Mayweather and Pacquiao jump into the ring. Should be an exciting matchup if you like boxing anyway. You think of Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao and the types of styles they have. I'll just talk boxing here for a second. And this is great news for boxing fans because it's long overdue. I think we'll see a really, really super good fight. Now, if you wanted to go see it in person, it costs you crazy amounts of money. I mean, crazy. Some of the tickets are $7,500. $7,500 to see this fight. I hope it goes the distance. All right, a little bit of the funny on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
So over the weekend, it was the Muckety Mucks get together, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Sometimes, as I was talking about the comedian, it's a big deal for the comedian because it's 22 minutes of you riffing on politics, and really everything's fair game. Things that have happened, networks, people, whatever. It's a fair game room. So it's always interesting to see how the comedians handle it. And then of course the president gets his shot at it, whoever the president is, whether, you know, during the Bush years, the Clinton years, you know, this tradition goes way back through Republican and Democratic presidents. And it is pretty interesting, especially when you have some of the issues that are front and center by the time you get to the correspondence dinner. So Saturday Night Live's Cecily Strong, I guess it is, had the shot, had a big crack at it. And here's a kind of a whip around of some of her stronger stuff, if you will. Check it out.
I took Amtrak here. It was way more luxurious than I thought. Did you know that they have massage seats available on those trains? All you need to do is sit in front of Joe Biden. It's great to be here at the Washington Hilton. It's something a prostitute might say to a congressman. The Washington Hilton is great. And I bet that when the president walked in and saw all those bellhops, he thought, finally, some decent security. NBC is here. You know, even us at SNL got criticized this year for making fun of ISIS. Now, I think that's unfair. I mean, if anyone is guilty of taking ISIS too lightly, it's them. You know. Now, in Tom Cotton's defense, he was just trying to repair America's strained relationship with Israel. But you know what? He doesn't need to worry about that. Our relationship will be better in the next administration, just as soon as Israel makes a generous donation to the Clinton Foundation. A lot of you probably don't know this, But President Obama and I actually grew up together in Chicago. I remember when we used to go down to the Cabrini Green basketball courts. I'd lace up a pair of Jordans. He'd slip on a pair of my mom's jeans. And we would just miss three-pointers until sundown. When, of course, we'd have to stop and pray to Mecca. Now you got problems with Congress, with Putin, with Israel. You said it yourself. We can't solve these problems by holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Kumbaya, of course, is the village in Africa where the president was born. Am I saying that right? Kumbaya? Thank you. After 6 years in office, your approval rating is at 48%. Not only that, your gray hair is at 85%. Your hair is so white now, it can talk back to the police.
All right, that was pretty funny. I got to admit that in the last one. He has aged since he's been in the White House. Joe Biden was part of the joke fest, as he always is. Easy to use Joe Biden. You heard a joke there that Cicely Strong used in her bit, you know, in her 20-some minutes. But also the Prez had a little Biden joke. He said that it's been kind of a Washington tradition, you know, pointing out how much he loves Biden. He says he loves that man. We've gotten so close that some places in Indiana won't serve us pizza anymore, which, of course, ba-dum-bump, is a reference to Indiana's religious freedom law that upset the gay community and rights activists and whatnot. So that got a little bit of applause. And there was a Dick Cheney, there's always a Dick Cheney joke, right? There's always a Dick Cheney joke. And Obama, because Cheney always takes swings at him, freely takes swings back, because this is his chance to do that at a White House correspondent dinner. And he said that Dick Cheney was recently called the worst president of my lifetime. He said, referring to, joking about the vice president who was considered influential in the Bush White House. I think we got that. We didn't need the explanation. But, and then there was a couple of other things, you know, too, a couple of other people that he threw some epithets at and whatnot. He talked about Hillary Clinton's financial woes, and he said that Clinton, you know, to return to Clinton's comments that she and the former president, were dead broke when they left the White House. Obama said, for many Americans, this is still a time of deep uncertainty. And he said, for example, I have one friend just a few weeks ago. She was making millions of dollars a year. Now she's living out of a van in Iowa. That was a reference to Clinton, of course, touring in the Scooby van and her, you know, after her campaign announcement. So the White House Correspondents' Dinner is interesting because of the people who rub elbows together. And you have to wonder, if you could be a fly on the wall, what are they really thinking? What are they really thinking? You could see in some of the jokes where, from what I saw in the little snippets, that you get some long faces and people who don't think it's that funny. I bet Hillary Clinton doesn't think the book Clinton Cash is that funny, because she's now had to answer for the Clinton Foundation. She even said the other day, yes, we've made mistakes. First, Chelsea came out and said, yes, we've made mistakes. Now, Hillary Clinton is coming out and saying the same thing. But the Clinton Cash author said there was no direct evidence of wrongdoing. So the guy who wrote the book is saying, you know, this isn't a criminal thing. In his book, he's pretty much saying that. He's saying there wasn't anything directly that you could tie toward impropriety, but argued there's a pattern of behavior. And the guy's name is, the author of the book is Peter Schweizer, and he says that, you know, it's just the foundation had undue influence on American foreign policy. You know, did it? Even when Schweizer was on ABC This Week, he was part of the Swirling Heads, George Stephanopoulos, you know, Stephanopoulos pressed him, and he said, the record is only suggestive, not definitive. That the smoking gun is in the patterns of behavior was what he found in his findings, and that most people that engage in criminal insider trading don't send an email and say, I've got inside information, buy this stock. And he admitted he had no hard proof of any quid pro quos, but he raised several instances where he said, hey, look, the Clinton Foundation supporters benefited from State Department actions. You know, this is what it is. So this is what this book is about. And now there's lots of people that are investigating this to confirm and even look further into the findings. We've sent out a couple of informational things to see what we get back from the foundation so far. Not a lot. I mean, they're saying, you know, we've made mistakes, and they're putting out press releases, but not doing a lot of interviews, even people connected to the foundation. Now, Schweitzer said that his role was merely to lay the groundwork for somebody else to really look into this, for authorities to look into this further. But, you know, so right now it's interesting because he did that book on Hillary Clinton or Clinton Cash and the foundation, and he's now reporting on potential ethics violations by Jeb Bush. So he's an equal opportunity zinger. Of course, the former Florida governor, who's going to announce any day now that he's seeking the Republican nomination for president. So interesting. And I mean, I get it. I get what he's saying about his book. This is what I found pretty suggestive stuff. I'm not saying that this is criminally negligent and that there's something hardcore there that you can go after. But with her being in the State Department and things that certainly that happened with the uranium company, for one, is worrisome. I mean, it is worrisome, the tie to it. It makes you think. The timing is interesting. And how can you say that people that weren't given something favorably felt like they needed to go back? But then therein lies the gray area, which is what I talked about last week. The Clintons are lawyers, peeps. Remember that. They're lawyers. They know how to step around traps and holes. Even though it looks like they might be sinking, they still know how to find their way out of it. They're masters at doing that, which is part of the reason why we don't want to see another Clinton-Bush White House, right? Because we don't want the same old thing. We don't want dynasties. Why do we have to create dynasties? Didn't we get away from royalty for a reason? Wasn't there a reason for the Revolutionary War? Wasn't there a reason for the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, we the people? I think we the people, when we say we're tired of the same old thing, that's what it is. We don't want dynasties. We don't want to create dynasties. That's not the idea of a democratic government. And I think you'd get a lot of the same thing because it's part of the Clinton makeup. Now, if you like it, then you're glad that this is the second time around, and will she win? And in the polls, she still is holding a lead over over every other Republican candidate who's declared and those who are presumed to declare. All right, stay with us. We're talking a little business next, app style, here on America Tonight.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Welcome to another edition of It's Your Business. Very excited about our next guest because you know how I feel about entrepreneurism and where it's all headed and the exciting opportunities that are actually out there for so many people. Justin Esgar is in our virtual green room, and this is the deal with him. I think everything he touches, according to my friend who gave me the scoop on Justin, he's got like the Midas touch. So he had a successful IT consulting firm. That's big. And then we see the battle for the apps. He releases an app that, check this out, sold over 250,000 copies. And then this is the key thing. When you do that, you're featured in Apple's top business apps. So that's great. And he's a speaker like I am. He speaks all over the country and he speaks on entrepreneurism and he is a serial entrepreneur. So he is perfect to join us on this show. And it's a great time to have him on too, because we're talking about thinking and dreaming big. Think of the theme for National Small Business Week. That's what it is. Dreaming big and starting small. Justin, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Great to be here, Kate.
So the things that I just mentioned, was your first step the IT consulting stuff? Was that the thing that really had you going and pulling in what you needed, the cash flow and everything else?
Yeah, so I actually started as an IT consultant working for someone and worked my way up and then finally left and started my own. And I got clients and I hustled and I did everything I needed to do. And that kind of stemmed me into the right direction going off, because it was actually what I was doing in my day-to-day job as an IT consultant that actually started my software development company.
So when you decided to jump out on your own, was that scary, though? Because you worked for somebody and then you knew, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I can do this. Was it a little bit scary? You figured the net would find you?
I vaguely remember having a conversation with my parents questioning whether or not I could make $75,000 a year on my own. And, you know, this is 2008 when I first started, and I said, you know what, let me try. And I still had a lot of connections from my old job and people who I had met along the way. So that really helped me out. And there's a couple people who, like, helped me get started on my own and kind of taught me a couple things that I didn't know about the business aspect of IT consulting that I've since, you know, honed and changed. And when I finally, you know, took the dive, I was, like, ready to go.
That's great. That was good, because that's what you need. You need advice and mentors, and you need to research, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, even today I have a mentor just for business in general, not just necessarily IT, who, you know, I love and adore him, and I can, you know, he knows that I can call him whenever, and I email him, and we talk constantly. He kind of keeps me in the right direction with all the stuff that I'm working on.
Yeah, love it. I think mentors are so, so important. So tell us about the app. I mean, that is the new, it's not the new frontier, it's the new old frontier, because a lot of people are trying to jump into that game and they can't crack what they think they can. What did you do that really worked for you?
So as an IT consultant, one of the things I had was I used to have these paperwork tickets. And, you know, I would go on site and my client would get a copy and then they would sign one. And I had a studio apartment in Manhattan. So, you know, I lived in like a broom closet and I had all this paper building up. So one day I was using my iPad. And again, this is 2010. So the iPad 1 was out. And I realized that I could draw on this device. Like I was playing with some painting program and I realized that, like, I could draw a signature on this device. And that's started the idea for our premier app that we came out with called Sign My Pad, the PDF signature application, where you can take a contract and get it signed. And that, back in 2008, we were the first of the game with this technology, and we really pushed it, and we got in, like you said, we got into Apple's paperwork on how to run your business using an iPad, and we got written up by real estate magazines and lawyer conferences and all these things, because everybody really wanted to start going paperless, and we were kind of the first one to help do that.
Wow, so cool. When you develop it and you did all the things you said, and then, you know, I mentioned and you mentioned cracking the Apple code, so to speak, what was that like for you? I mean, to see it actually from conceptualizing it to realizing it and then seeing it really soar.
So it was really interesting, because I remember the day the app actually got released in the App Store, because I had submitted it, and when you submit an app to the Apple Store, it takes a couple of days for them to review it and do whatever. And I didn't even know it was out. All I knew was that I got a phone call from a very successful company to ask me how the app worked, and I was like, wait, how do you know about this already? Like, it had been out maybe like an hour. And they had a systems engineer whose job was it is to know about these new technologies that were coming out to help their business. And right then and there, like, this was a major television network that contacted me, and I was just like, all right, I think I may have something here.
I love that. So will there be more apps in the future? Because, I mean, that's one of the things you talk about a lot.
Yeah, so apps at this point, you know, you got to really do something innovative. I get a lot of people come up to me and they always say, I have a great idea for an app. I'm like, here we go. And it's always something that's been done before, or the other side is that they want to take two really popular things and blend them together. And, like, that's not really how you create a successful app. My latest app we have called Good Night. It's an app for parents where you can put in your children what time they should go to bed and what time they should wake up. And you install the app on your child's phone. And if they use their phone between bedtime and wake time, your phone gets a push notification saying they're on their phone. That's something that's new. That's new technology. That's a new idea. That makes it. But if you come to me and say, I want to create the next Facebook plus Twitter minus whatever, like, you're already in the wrong direction.
I love that. Do you help other people? I mean, is that part of the idea, helping other people with projects?
Absolutely. So I have a book that's out called Capitalize on Your Idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, I try to make it short. I didn't want to repeat too much stuff. And it's really about how you can take any idea and bring it to fruition. And I use apps as a platform, using outsourcing and using marketing professionals and social media and interns and all these things, and how you can take any idea and bring it to fruition. And I'm actually in the process right now of finishing up. We're starting a 6-week program to get people to start taking any of their ideas and really start building what I like to call passive income businesses, which is like apps and stuff like that, or websites and whatever.
Wow. So for your 6-week program, would that be virtual, web-based? Could be anyone listening around the country, or is it New York City-based, or how's that going to work?
Sure. So we're still actually putting the final touches on it, but it's going to be web-based. It's all going to be virtual. There's going to be a lot of, like, communication tools that are going to be involved. I'm going to show people how to use project management tools, and I'm going to be involved with, like, their day-to-day in the first 2 weeks, and then I kind of let them go for the next 2 weeks, and then we see how it finishes up the last 2 weeks. That's kind of the direction we're going right now. Like I said, the whole program's in beta, so we're still trying to figure out some of the details, but the whole thing is meant that anyone can do this anywhere, and they don't need to be in New York City to make it big. You can literally create a business with a couple bucks and maybe a WordPress website from your basement anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But it's being willing to do that. And isn't it also about dreaming big, right? If you're gonna go, you might as well dream big.
You know, you should definitely dream big. I'm not going to deny that. I have a note on my iPhone with a list of all the cars that I want to buy. You know, and there's some expensive stuff on there. You know, so I'm all about dreaming big. But here's my new piece of advice that I like to share with you. Everybody thinks that their idea is going to be the next $1 million idea. Or how do I come up with the next million? How do I come up with the next Facebook? How do I come up with the next Twitter? How do I come up with the next Tinder? All these things. How do I create the next $1 million idea? And my thought process is, don't think like that. Instead of trying to come up with one $1 million idea, come up with 10 $100,000 ideas. Because those are much more obtainable goals. They're easier to create. They're easier to churn. When you're doing, especially with my whole passive income thing, it's a lot easier to come up with these a few small ideas as opposed to really trying to go all in and get this one giant idea out the door.
Yeah, there you go. Smaller targets and just hit them. I love that. 10 100,000 ideas. Who wouldn't take that versus, wow, we just can't get there. And part of it, don't you think part of it is people put together lists and they just can't get to the list, the procrastination, the time conundrum that people run into?
Sure. You know, some people have this great ability that they can flip from one thing to another. Some people don't. And that's not a bad thing. You just have to know what kind of person you are. So I have an employee of mine who's trying to come up with some passive income thing, and I'm teaching him how to do time chunking. So he sets specific time, and he uses a calendar program like iCal on his computer, and he sets specific times every day, and this is what he does during this time. So from 8 to 9, he does this project. From 9 to 10, he does this project, and so on and so forth, until he can learn how to flip from one to the other. And like I said, it's not a bad thing if you can't right away, but you just have to know how you do you. And be able to come up with these things and move around a lot.
I agree with that. You have to know how you do you. You coined a couple of phrases for us for sure. Capitalize on your ideas. Where can we pick up a copy of your book? Amazon?
It's on Amazon. You can get a paperback copy. Thanks to direct to print ebook, and it's in the iBook store on iOS.
All right, I love it, Justin Esgar. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
We live in
complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We got two turns left before we hit the finish line for this Hour of America tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. The death penalty has been debated from its inception. Some states have said no way. Some states wanted to reinstate the death penalty. Some states, well, one state, like Utah, is talking about the firing squad because of the problems with lethal injection. And now we've got this trial that starts on Monday for James Holmes. You know the name James Holmes in Colorado? That's the movie theater massacre artist. Ugh, I still remember that really, really well because I was at the Jersey Shore. I was at Ocean City, New Jersey. I was there with my family. And that Batman movie, the latest installment of Batman, had come out. The Dark Bat Rises. But anyway, James Holmes went into that movie theater, and all those innocent people who were there for that, you know, for that showing, were just opened fire upon. And months before he did that, months before he killed 12 and injured 70 in one of our deadliest mass shootings, and this is a 24-year-old doctoral student, right? He was prepping for this. He was prepping for this. And how do we know he was prepping for it? Because what they found weapons, ammunition, tear gas, grenades, riot gear, all of that. His apartment was rigged to blow up. It was a lethal booby trap. People forget that. And he was cranking massively loud techno music so that somebody would open his door. And there was one neighbor who came by to complain and could have blown the whole place up. Luckily, did not push the door open. So anyway, so Monday, it's going to be about partially, in some people's minds, the death penalty. Because this is a death penalty trial. So is the death penalty, when you look at this twisted, messed up, sadistic killer, is the death penalty what he should get? Prosecutors say, look, the guy was angry over his academic decline. It was a trigger. It was a tipping point. Because that's what you always look for with mass killers. What is it? Disappointment. Psychiatrists will tell us, as we have our psychiatrist on this show, psychologist Frieda Birnbaum, and our head shrinker, and she'll say that. And she has said that. We've talked to her about that. So the opening arguments kick off. But this was almost 3 years ago. And you think of what he did before then. You think about the paranoia, the narcissism, the things that were going on in his head. And when they went into his apartment and they found all the things that they found, they also found prescription meds for anxiety and depression, 50 cans and bottles of beer, paper shooting targets, a Batman mask, because remember that was his whole thing when he went in and did that. And it wasn't about who he killed, how many he killed, because he wanted to really kill more. And what will this trial yield? Will it be that he was sick, he was emotionally unplugged, or will it be something else? You know, this is after 4 months or more, think about this, of going through that whole trial process. Now they have to decide whether he was insane. The people that they've chosen, the 12, because they were chosen from a pool of 9,000 people. 9,000 people, because, oh, they didn't want to taint the jury. So they got their 12. Was he insane at the time when he did what he did? You know, his parents, who have apologized all over the place, said they had no idea. They said he didn't do drugs, didn't gamble, didn't stay out late, didn't do anything. Didn't do anything that would make them believe something was wrong. He was shy. He graduated with honors from the University of California. Then he applied for doctoral programs, got in one in Colorado, boom, that was it. That was it. And the parents have said it several times. They had no clue. No clue whatsoever. But then he shows up at this Batman movie, dressed in this protective gear. And I think some of the people in the movie theater, and that's what witnesses say, they thought it was part of the show. He burst into the movie theater, but then he tossed the tear gas, and then he started shooting, and it's just terrible. Heinous. Awful. I say death penalty. I say death penalty for this guy, but who knows if that's what's going to happen, because he's got one of the best criminal lawyers for the insanity plea that you could possibly want. And this lawyer has had some time to prepare this defense, and believe me, this is what is going to happen. They're going to talk about the fact that he wasn't right, the fact that he was disturbed, the fact that he had been rambling around about a whole bunch of different things. But for my money, honestly, I know I take flack for this, and that's fine, because some people just feel like no matter what, the death penalty is not the answer. But I disagree. I think in heinous situations, unforgivable, unmoved, unrepentant, that whole thing, and he fits all of what I would say are my categories for somebody who should get the death penalty. But there certainly is a very, very good chance that he will not get the death penalty. That instead he may get life in prison. And it's interesting, too, because we're at a weird time with the whole death penalty thing. There are many, as I said, that there's been some changes in a lot of states, and there are many who think it needs to go away. Even many of the Republicans feel like, meh, you know what, let's do away with the death penalty. Which it used to be the opposite. It was the race to have this happen. And some of it is because of mistakes. Some of it is because of reversals, which, of course, nobody would want that. And it's that whole idea of 100%. But in the case of James Holmes, it's 100%. I mean, we can say, allegedly, he gunned down. He did. It's him. And then they're going to talk about his mind at the time. And whether or not he was insane, and that's how it may go down. But I think if I'm one of those parents of one of the kids that was killed or maimed or any of that, I don't know, in my heart I would just have to feel like the right way to go would be the death penalty. I really do. I think that's the correct sentence here. But whether or not that's what happens is very iffy, given the nature, too, of what's happened with lethal injections, even though there are other ways, and the mindset, the trend toward, I should say, toward that isn't the right thing to do. That we shouldn't decide who gets the death penalty, and it should be left instead to a higher power ultimately. So if that's the case, then we can't do the whole death penalty thing. But I disagree. I think James Holmes, for what he did to those people, I really think that's the only way this jury can find. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It all starts on Monday in Colorado. We'll have some reports from Colorado, what it was like in the courthouse, what the mood is like prosecution-wise, how about the defense and what's going on there, and see if we can get a pulse on the situation, on where it's headed. So while there is a movement to do away with DP, I say he needs to be DP'd. Because it'll take a long time, my friends, from the start on Monday to when it actually happens, if, and it's such a great if, it's a 50-50 proposition, let's face it. It'll take a long time before he hits death row. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
This is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risks of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.